The Iraqi army says it's pushed into another neighborhood under Islamic State control in Mosul today. The offensive to retake the city from ISIS is nearly 3 months old, but progress has been slow because of suicide attacks and concerns about harming civilians. The U.S. is supporting the efforts with airstrikes and advisors. Defense Secretary Ash Carter spoke to reporters last night during a stop in Tokyo.
It's pretty much going down the path that we expected. And I'm confident of the outcome. I mean, ISIL will be in the hands of the Iraqis, no doubt about it.
Now, ISIS has been one of President Obama's biggest challenges in his second term, and today the president will be in Tampa to deliver perhaps his final speech on counterterrorism. It follows yesterday's release of a 61-page document that defends his administration's rules for drone strikes and terrorist detention. He's spelling out these policies before President-elect Donald Trump takes office. And, of course, Trump has promised to be more aggressive fighting terrorists. Stephen Tankel is assistant professor in the School of International Service at American University. He's also the editor at the website War on the Rocks. Professor Tankel, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much for having me, Peter. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Sure. And first of all, can you talk about the 61 pages in this White House report? What's in it and why is it coming out now?
What the president and his team have put out is really a compendium of a lot of the different legal bases, domestic and international, for both where they are conducting military operations and also why and how they have been able to use force in the ways that they have. So explanations for why the United States is on the ground in Afghanistan, why it is providing support to the government in Somalia or Libya and launching airstrikes, things of that nature, and both explaining, you know, sort of how they go about prosecuting the use of force and the legal basis for it.
Covers drone strikes, also the issue of waterboarding or interrogation tactics. The president has said that he wants to institutionalize his administration's policies for future administrations. But you got to wonder how likely that would be when you've got Donald Trump and other Republicans who've gone after Obama's strategy and say he's been far too weak and that weakness has led to the expansion of extremism.
Yeah, I would challenge that conclusion that his policies have led to the expansion of extremism. And I certainly don't think that it's going to be the case by simply using more force. You're going to reduce extremism, certainly not by reinstituting torture would you reduce extremism. But I think part of what the president is trying to do here is to set a precedent in terms of transparency going forward, to show why what they have done is legal and also to show what the legal limitations are to potentially make it more difficult to go further in some areas. And again, also set that precedent for communicating with the American public to the degree possible about what informs these decisions and what the legal bases are. So again, you know, part of this is an element of transparency. But of course, you know, some of the decisions that the Obama administration has made, you know, have been made vis-a-vis, executive orders and things of that nature that a future administration could simply overturn.
Right. Well, let's talk about that issue of transparency, especially in the context of his drone program, because there has been a lot of criticism of the administration after civilians have been killed in drone strikes. There is a debate about whether or not the administration is accurately counting the number of civilians that have been killed by drone strikes. Folks on the left have long said that his drone policy is both morally and legally suspect. I mean, where is the president right now as he prepares to leave office on this issue of transparency in drone strikes? Or has he been able to address that or just simply deflect the concerns?
I think he's attempted to address it. I don't think he's addressed it to the satisfaction of many of his critics. There is obviously a tension when using drone strikes, especially when using them in countries where sometimes our partners have specifically requested that we not acknowledge these strikes. That was part of the deal with Pakistan initially. It was part of the deal with Yemen as well. And so that creates transparency issues. The fact that drones were initially being flown often by the CIA as opposed to the military, that also creates transparency issues. And again, part of that is by design and because of what our partners in some cases have requested. I should also note that one of the major challenges has been in terms of keeping track of civilian casualties vice you know, militants who are taken off the battlefield. But I think it is important to also note that drones are much more precise than other types of airstrikes, certainly than missile strikes would be.
Yeah. Well, all of this gets to the president's legacy, which I think he's thinking about at this point in his presidency. Here he is at a commencement address earlier this year at the Air Force Academy.
Thanks to our military, intelligence, and counterterrorism professionals, Bin Laden is gone. Anwar Awlaki, a leader of the al-Qaeda affiliate in Yemen, is gone. Ahmed Abdi Ghoddani, the al-Qaeda leader in Somalia, he's gone.
How will history judge Obama's success at stopping the spread of terrorism?
Well, I think, you know, there certainly have been some successes. And if you judge it based on the ability to eliminate leaders and also to keep the homeland safe from major transnational attacks, then one would address it successfully. At the same time, certainly we've seen an expansion of terrorist groups across the Middle East and North Africa. One could criticize some of the ways in which the Obama administration has reacted to the Arab uprisings, but I think it's important to remember that the Arab uprisings, which created, you know, sort of a lot of the new opportunities for these groups to spread, were a long time building. So I'm not sure that there would have been much that, you know, the Obama administration coming in 2009 could have done to stop the Arab uprisings in 2011. So
right.
I think that context is important. I think the other piece that it's important to note in terms of Obama's counterterrorism policy is that part of what for success for him has been defined, I think, not just by, you know, eliminating terrorist leaders or terrorist or degrading terrorist groups or keeping the homeland safe. It's also been by his efforts to try to situate counterterrorism, you know, within broader U.S. foreign policy rather than have it be a driver of U.S. foreign policy and to put it on a more sustainable footing, you know, coming in and sort of seeing what the Bush administration had done, and I think believing that was simply not sustainable. And so I think that has also got to be an element when, you know, historically we look back that we'll have to consider.
We asked the same question to a military analyst named Andrew Basevich. He comes on the program often. And he sent us an email that in part said a lot of what you said, but also that if the measure of merit is to reduce the prevalence of radicalism and to restore stability, President Obama ranks as a failure. Your thoughts on that?
Well, again, you know, I think there's a question about the metric. You know, I think certainly we want to reduce extremism. I think I personally see there are limitations on what any president is going to be able to do to that. I would also, you know, point out that when the president came into office, the Iraq War had been raging. I think that al-Qaeda and its associates had been able to do a reasonably good job of using U.S. policies to promote the idea that the United States was leading a war on Islam, which quite frankly is something that I worry they're going to be able to do again with a Trump administration coming in. And so, you know, I certainly wouldn't dispute that we've seen that spread of violent extremism. I think that some of that was, you know, we were already seeing that by the time Obama came into office, and certainly the buck stops with him in terms of the ability to try to slow that growth. But I would also point out that I think a lot of this is also related to the Arab uprisings, and I believe certainly we can be critical in certain areas of how the Obama administration responded to that. And at the same time, I think some of that was going to be beyond the control of any president. And so, again, you know, I think that's one metric, but I don't know that it is the only metric. I think if it was a question of, you know, that if history were to judge a president based on his ability to try to make counterterrorism more sustainable and to situate it within a wider foreign policy and not let it be a driver of foreign policy, you could say that Obama, you know, had some successes. If you could say that it was, you know, to keep the homeland safe and to degrade, you know, the terrorist groups that were a direct threat to the United States, you know, that there has been successes there. So
yes.
Which,
to point out, to be fair to Andrew Basevich, he makes the same point there
okay.
as well.
Yeah.
And finally, do you think that President Obama considers himself a war president, and will history see him as one?
I can't say whether President Obama considers himself a war president. I think it would be hard for history not to see him as one. He has presided over, you know, over war for the entirety of his of his presidency in Afghanistan, where we still have troops on the ground, and really waging a new kind of war. And I think one of the questions that we'll look back on historically will be whether the Bush and really the Obama administrations were the time in which the concept of what it meant to be at war or at peace, became clouded in ways that we'll be working to unpack for years to come.
Stephen Tankel is an assistant professor in the School of International Service at American University. He's also a senior editor at the website War on the Rocks. Professor, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.